We've been looking at different questions and answers, questions that people often ask about the gospel, about our faith. And as you know, if you've been around people that have asked a lot of questions, usually you find they ask the same questions over and over again. Different people ask the same questions, so it helps us to have an answer, to be prepared for some of the obvious questions. And we are looking at a sub-series within this topic, this series about God. Questions people regularly ask about God. So tonight we're going to look at John chapter 14 and verse 6 to begin with. Why don't we start with John 14 and verse 6. Let's read this verse and we'll commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Only two blanks tonight to fill in. The Bible says, as the Lord spoke, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the truth that you have shown us and declared to us and entrusted into our hands. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a witness for you. Lord, we know that we don't have the power, we don't have the strength, the ability. Lord, we are weak. And yet, Lord, we remember on Sunday morning we looked at Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, we looked at the lives of those who through weakness were made strong. Lord, we thank you that by faith we know that you want to use us. That if we simply are prepared and ready to give an answer, Lord, you'll use your word miraculously in the hearts of the lost around us. So, Father, help us this evening to be better prepared to give an answer. Lord, help us to be encouraged in our faith and to go from here, Lord, to be willing witnesses to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the question we're looking at this evening is there on the top of your notes, is Christianity the only way to God? Now, if someone hasn't asked you that question yet, sooner or later they will. And sometimes they might ask this. They might say, well, there are lots of religions in the world. How can you be sure? And in fact, some will get a little bit upset and say, isn't it arrogant to think that your way is the only way? And often someone asks that question out of frustration, out of anger. And this little lesson tonight might help you to kind of deflect that anger a little bit and just give a simple answer, which I like to use, which is this. Well, you know, religion, if you want to see it in the right way, religion is man's way to try and get to God. So there in your notes, your first blank is the word man's. Man's way. Religion is man's way to reach God. So you can fill that blank in with the word man. Man's way. And Christianity is God's way to reach man. And, you know, in the Bible, the Lord Jesus spoke a lot about religion. And he really plainly and simply made known what he thought about religion. You see, there are lots of religions in the world, but they are all the same. They are all the same. All of the religions in the world are based upon the one belief that we can do something in our own ability to get to God. Now, different religions have different ways of doing that, but it's all through a system of beliefs. And religion is man's way to get to God. Now, the Lord spoke about man's way, and he condemned man's religion, in fact. Notice Luke chapter 18 there in your notes. I've put the verses in there for you. There the Lord tells a story about a publican and a Pharisee. Both of them went to the temple to pray, and both of them were seeking God. But one thought that he would be accepted by God because of his good works. And that's basically what religion teaches. The religion of the Jews today. They believe that they have a claim to heaven and to God because they keep the law. And because they are obedient in their works. Here in chapter 18, we read, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" And that's what the Pharisee said. The Pharisee said to God, "I deserve to come to you and to be here in the temple because of all the good things that I do." Now notice what the publican, the tax collector, the sinful, corrupt sinner there, "And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" And what does the Lord Jesus say? And you can show them this verse in the Bible. What does he say about good works? Which one was accepted before God? The one trying to earn his place before God by things he did? Or the person who admitted and recognized that they were an undeserving sinner asking for forgiveness and mercy? What does the Lord say? "I tell you that this man," the publican, "went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So good works, that's what religion teaches. You can do something, follow this system of religion, and one day, hopefully, that will be enough. Well, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says good works is not enough. In fact, if we think that we can get to heaven by our good works, that is a greater offense to God than the fact that we are sinners. To say that we can offer something to God and we can somehow undo our bad things that we've done, our sins, by the good things we've done. You know, it's just like a criminal going to court and pleading to the judge to be let go because he's done some good things in his life. Yeah. "Please don't condemn me as guilty because, look, I've done some good things too." Yeah. Now, if the judge is a just judge, what would he say? Well, he'd say, "You're guilty. You can't get out of it. If you've broken the law, you're guilty. We are all sinners." So religion says that we can get to God through good works. And the Lord Jesus says, no, not at all. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What about through self-righteousness? You know, many religious people today, you can say to that person, think that they are righteous. You know, the Pope thinks that he's a righteous man. He thinks that he is the vicar of God. And he stands in God's place and he speaks forth God's word. And he has the power to forgive people's sins if he so chooses. Well, what does the Lord say about self-righteousness? Well, here in John chapter 8, we don't have to read all the verses, but there was a woman that was brought to the Lord in the act of adultery is when she was caught. The Pharisees brought her to the Lord to see what he would do. And the Lord wrote something on the ground and they continued to ask him to accuse her and condemn her to be stoned. And the Lord, of course, said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." So the Lord said to them, "All right, you think that she deserves to be judged, but what about you? Whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And the Bible says that they were so convicted by their own conscience, they left. They left, and the only people left there in that group was the Lord and the woman. You see, the Lord condemned people who thought they could get to heaven by their own good works, and also people who thought they were self-righteous. I mean, declared that they were self-righteous. The Pharisees obviously thought that they were better than this adulterous woman. And what did the Lord say? He says, "Well, we're all sinners. You are all sinners." Not we. You are all sinners. And if you want to judge this woman, well, what about yourselves? And they left. See, we cannot get to heaven by our own self-righteousness. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, verse 10. So religion is all about good works. It's about self-righteousness. It's about keeping the laws of God. Look at Galatians 3:10. This is a great verse to show those who say that they keep the Ten Commandments. And you know, Many Catholics will say that. Look, I keep the Ten Commandments and I'm doing well. I'm sure I can get to heaven. Well, Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So what is Galatians 3:10 saying? That either you keep the whole law and you're sinless, or you break one law and you are cursed. Now, how does that work out? Well, if you are caught shoplifting and the police haul you off to the police station, they take your details and you are officially put on, what do we call it? Well, they write you down in their books, don't they? They put you on record. Though you stole something and it may not be as great a crime as murdering someone, you're still on record. You've been caught, involved in a criminal activity, and from that point onwards, you're on record as a criminal. So the Bible tells us, if we have sinned and we've broken one of God's laws, then we are criminals in God's sight. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. You can ask that person, have you ever lied before? Once. Just once. If they haven't, if they say they haven't, well, they just have. They've just lied to you. They've all lied. Have you ever stolen anything? If that person is sincere, and you can say, well, that's just two of the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says, if we've broken God's laws, we are sinners, we are condemned, we cannot get to God. Every religion has its own rules and regulations, but the Lord Jesus said, keeping those rules, keeping those regulations, that cannot get you to God. The law demands either we keep all the commandments or we are guilty of them all. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. God's law, the Ten Commandments, for example, is like a mirror. It shows us our flaws, our sins, but it cannot remove them. The law can't remove our sins. It shows us our sins, but it can't remove them. Just like that person in the court of law. You know, it doesn't matter how much good they've done, it still cannot undo the fact that they've broken the law. We understand that. People understand it. So it's a good little illustration to use. But the point is, religion is man's way to reach God. And there are many man-made religions in the world today. People believe in the supernatural, they believe in God, and so naturally man will come up with different ideas of how to get to God. But Jesus condemned all of those ideas. Good works, self-righteousness, keeping the rules, whatever they may be, cannot get us to God. Secondly, in your notes on the next page, Christianity is God's way to reach man.
Amen.
Amen? This is God's plan to reach man. And you can say, look, I'm not saying that my way is the right way. What I'm saying is that God's way is the right way. You know, the Bible says, be ready to give an answer in meekness and in fear. Salvation through Jesus Christ wasn't my idea, wasn't your idea. It was God's plan. It was God's idea. And that's all I want to share with you. That's all. You know, you can be humble and you can share with them that Christianity is God's way to reach man. How is it? Is it through a system of religion? You can say, look, you won't get to heaven just by coming to church or calling yourself a Christian. The way to come to God is through His Son. John chapter 3, verse 16, probably one of the most popular Bible verses in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, verse 17 is great too.
Yes.
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, notice the word, the world, through Him might be saved. So you see, we can be saved, not through a religion, but through God's way. God made a way for us to be forgiven. Just like that publican of old who cried out for God's mercies, we have a way now to receive the mercies of God through Jesus Christ. It's through His Son. It's not a religion. You can tell them Christianity is not a religion. It's through Jesus Christ.
Were the Pharisees religious then?
Yes.
Yes, very religious. So Hebrews 2:9 is a great verse as well. That he, Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And you can tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ was not from America. He wasn't from Australia. Wasn't even from Europe. He's not a Roman Catholic. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in Israel, in Bethlehem. He was a Jew. And he provided salvation for the whole world. Not just for a culture, specific culture, not just for one people group, you know. And it's not an exclusive way to God. He made the way open for everyone, the whole world. It's through his Son. It's a free gift. This is exciting. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, of course, as you know, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." And you can reinforce the same point. Look, religion says you need to earn. You need to earn your way to heaven somehow. And it's impossible. How can you ever know whether you've done enough? But God says he has provided a way for us to be forgiven, and it's a free gift. Now, you know what's something special about a gift? Not only is it free, but when someone gives you that gift, do you have it? Yes, obviously. And you can take something and give it to them and ask them to take it. Do you have it in your hands? Yes. Is it yours? Yes. Can you experience it right now? Yes. So that means God's way of salvation is something that you can be sure of right now. Not when you die. When you die, it's too late. When you die, if you're wrong, it's too late. And the worst consequence is an eternity burning in the lake of fire. But God says you can receive the free gift of eternal life right now. And even if they're just still not seeking, they're seeking, but they're not believing, you can say, look, what's the harm in finding out more? Imagine if you went to a used car lot and the car salesman said, all right, here's the car, do you like it? And you said, yes, that's the one I want. All right, you can take it, and this is the price. And you say, well, can I take it for a drive? Can I test it out? Obviously, all of us would do that, especially if it's a used car. Some of us would take it to get it checked. To check it out first, before we bought it. Imagine if that used car salesman said, no, you can't look at it, you can't look under the bonnet, you either pay the full price and take it now, or it's not yours at all. Who would do that? Would any of you do that? I dare say that would be the deciding factor of giving that car a flick and going somewhere else. But you see, that's what religion offers. It says, invest your whole life, everything into this religion, but you'll never know until you're dead. Can you imagine dying and you were completely wrong? Well, the Bible says you can know in this life. The Bible says that the salvation is a free gift. Let me encourage you to find out more. It's 100% sure. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. 1 John 5:13, of course. I hope you've memorized this verse. If not, let me encourage you to do that. These things, God says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. The crucial word there is to know, that you may know. God says, not only can you know, but we must know. You need to know. And so obviously religion is not the way to God, because you can never know. You can think, you can hope, you can wish. Every religion provides a level of hopeful thinking, but nothing provides 100% assurance except Christianity, except Jesus Christ. Did you know that you can be sure? So give them a contrast. Help them to understand that you're not religious. I like to say to people, look, I'm not religious. You know, I don't go to church because I'm trying to earn my way to heaven. I go to church because I love the one who saved me. And I want to learn more about him. I want to learn how I can tell others more about him. I want to sing to him. Amen. I want to praise him. I'm not religious. My way is not the right way. He made the way. And then lastly, there in your notes, it is just. Actually, that's the second last point. It is just. You know, people will ask you, well, how can God just let us go? I think I mentioned that last Sunday, which is a fair enough question. If we are so great as sinners, how can God just let us go? Well, the Bible says that He is just in the payment that Christ made. Romans chapter 3, 24 to 26. The Bible says, if we believe, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or payment through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So you see, God must judge sin, and in order for God to remain a just judge, sin has to be paid for. All sin must be paid for. Now, we cannot pay for our own sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, for that reason, came to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. God is just. He can't just let us go. You know, religion teaches that if you just pray to God, He'll just let you go. He'll let you off the hook if you pray enough or if you do enough things. But that would mean that God is unjust, because you can't work off your way out of the things that you've done. You know, for God to be just, it means that our sins must be paid for. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who paid for our sins. He is sinless. And He died on the cross as sinless God to pay for your sins and mine. Therefore, God can both be just as a judge, satisfied with the payment that was made in full, and therefore we who are guilty can go free, because the punishment has been made. The payment has been taken care of. That's how God can still be both just and forgiving at the same time. See, we can't be forgiven without Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh, the Son of God, who paid for our sins. That's why Christianity is the only way, because there's only one God, and He's the only one who came to die on the cross to pay once and for all. Jesus is the only way to God. Lastly, in your notes, what separates Christianity from the religions of the world? Well, the issue is the issue of sin. How can we have our sins forgiven? Through good works or through Jesus Christ? Religion offers a lifetime of effort, self-righteousness, keeping the law, while Christianity teaches us the only way to God is through the sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Either you accept it or reject it. Once you accept His payment, you are free. You are forgiven. And someone says, well, you just, that means you can just live as you please. No, it's not. If someone saved you from drowning in the ocean, how would you treat them after you got saved? Would you hate them? Would you do things that offended them and hurt them and broke their heart? Is that how you would live continually? No. You'd love that person. So much more so when God saves us from eternal damnation in hell, He does a change in our hearts. We are a new creature in Jesus Christ and we want to love Him. And if someone says, well, you can just live as you please. Are there any Christians? Well, name one. Who? How do you know they're saved? You know, lots of people that call themselves Christians are not really saved. They're just religious. Go back to the religion thing. They're just religious. Lots of religious people today. Yes, they live like the devil, but they've never received Jesus Christ. They're trying to work their way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. If you follow a religion, at best, all you can say is, I hope I'll get to heaven before you jump off into eternity. What a tragedy. Because just as much as there is a chance of eternal salvation, there's also a chance of eternal damnation. So wouldn't it make more sense to find out about something that assures you you can know in this life rather than a religion which says you can never know? What do you think? Yeah. So there are some thoughts, plenty of thoughts. just to encourage you when someone asks you that question, is Christianity the only way to God? We can humbly answer that question because it's God's way. His way is the only way. But thank God there's only one way. I often like to say that. Imagine if there were many ways. How do you know that way is the right way? You know? How do you know that road doesn't go off the cliff? If there are many ways to go north. If there's only one road to go north, well, then you know you're on the right road. And you know you'll get there in the end. And you won't wonder whether you're lost. Amen? So, thankfully, there's only one way. And He doesn't want us to get lost. He wants us to be saved.